bets that tax reform will lead to more government borrowing. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It was the week we got the Republican framework for changing the tax system. During a news conference yesterday, White House Chief Economic Advisor Gary Cohn summed it up this way.
What we're trying to do here is to increase the lifestyle of American citizens, our hardworking citizens that get up every morning and work as hard as any people in the world to try and keep more of their hard-earned income. Our tax plan is trying to get the economy, to get the growth rate back to a normalized rate above 3%.
Lower corporate taxes and some kind of incentive to get multinationals to bring back to the U.S. their overseas profits could boost profits at many companies. But there are other key concerns on financial markets when it comes to what is now only a vague starting point in the tax reform story. Many a Friday, we consult Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So you're looking at this tax plan, and through your professional eyes, what are some of your big questions?
My first big question is, what are the details that were intentionally left out going to look like? They don't even want to start debating anything other than principles until the rest of the 2018 budget is done. So at the moment, it doesn't even begin to add up. You know, for example, there's a surtax on the highest earning individuals, which we don't even know what it's going to look like. We don't know how big it is. We don't know where the brackets fall. There's a lot of questions.
And with a bond trading floor about 6.5 feet from where you're speaking to me, you know, a big question you would have is, ultimately, does this tax plan mean more federal government borrowing or less federal government borrowing?
There's no question the corporate tax is dropping from 36% to 20% is going to blow a big hole in the deficit. So the issue is whether some of that or all of it is made up with changes to personal income tax. Turns out Bloomberg News did a survey of economists. You can't actually run the numbers, but 80% of economists were still confident in saying it's definitely going to make the deficit bigger.
We're going to have to borrow more to provide this tax cut. But, you know, the administration argues the economy will grow and will make up for it that way. So, Chris, have you gone to your personal accountant to figure out if you're a winner or loser under this yet?
There are some deductions that are probably going to go away. There are others that will be expanded and preserved, and you literally can't do the math yet. But what's turning into the biggest hot button issue is the potential loss of state and local income tax deductibility, mostly because it hits blue states extraordinarily hard. And as a result, you've got Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, usually a champion of the poor, trying to preserve a tax break that mostly benefits the highest earners.
All right. Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you for the briefing.
You're welcome. Thank you, David.
It's the fall, time when we send little care packages to new college students in the family. A little box of chocolate almonds or red vines is one thing we send as a sign of support and affection. But new research finds that many college students are actually not getting enough real food to eat. Reporter Hannah Harris-Green has more on an effort in California to get students fed.
The Pavilions at Melrose and Vine is full of fresh produce and organic food, which is why Emmeline Friedman shops here. It's also close to where she lives in L.A., she's here taking care of her family while she writes her psychology dissertation at the University of West Georgia. She relies on California's Food Assistance Program, or CalFresh.
I'm just going to pull over and check my list here.
She's vegetarian.
We can just dart on over to the opposite side of the market and get some hummus and crackers. Yeah.
Friedman isn't the only higher education student who needs help getting enough to eat.
I do think it is a growing problem.
Claire Cady is the founder of the College and University Food Bank Alliance. She co-authored Hunger on Campus, a survey of 34 universities and community colleges on student food insecurity. About 48% of students reported food insecurity in the previous 30 days, 22% with such low levels of food security that they qualified as hungry.
The cost of college has gone up significantly over time, and the types of funding that are available to students have not kept pace with the cost.
Even so, her study shows that very few students use food stamps to improve their diets.
So they are applying for food stamps, but they're not eligible because of work requirements.
In July, the California legislature passed a new law that will require campus eateries to register to accept purchases under CalFresh. It also requires colleges to inform students about their eligibility for food assistance. Friedman is already eligible for CalFresh because she works part-time. She knows what would happen if she wasn't.
Yeah, that would mean that I would not be able to take care of my elderly grandma who's in a wheelchair right now. You know, I help out and take care of her 2 days a week.
Friedman was ashamed to accept food assistance at first, but she says she got over her pride.
I saw how that pride sort of morphed into a refusal to accept help.
The food assistance program is helping Friedman to finish her PhD, advance her career, and she hopes eventually stop using it. I'm Hannah Harris-Green from Marketplace.
Volkswagen stock is down 0.5% in Frankfurt now. This after VW said the costs of its cheating diesels continue to mount. The company said today it's setting aside another $3 billion for this in its next financial quarter, in part to pay legal claims in the U.S. There's also word today a former VW executive has been taken in for questioning. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.